Well, good evening, everyone. Whether the mention of Christmas brings a smile to your face or sends a shiver down your spine, whether you're one of those who enjoys everything about Christmas or those who just endure it, let me warmly welcome you here to the Smithton Church. In here tonight, everybody is a somebody. There are no nobodies in here tonight. And everybody has something in our lives that is a struggle. And so I hope that together, as we move beyond the snowy images and the silly Christmas jumpers, as we move to hear the greatest story ever told, spoken and sung, that we might see something of Jesus and that we might see why who he is might actually be the answer we need for everything that's going on in our lives. My name is Alistair. I'm one of the team who work here at the Smithton Church. And if this is your first time here, let me give you a particular welcome. It's great to have you with us. We're going to begin our evening tonight as we sing together the first of our carols, which is Once in Royal David City. Please do stand at the appropriate time.
I'm reading from Genesis 3 and starting at verse 8. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked. So I hid." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree from which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree and I ate it." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" The woman said, "The snake deceived me and I ate." So the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and all wild animals. You will crawl on your belly and you will eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head and you will strike his heel." To the woman, he said, "I will greatly increase your pains in childbearing. With pain you will give birth to children. Your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you." To Adam, he said, "Because you listened to your wife and ate from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat of it, cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil, you will eat of it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow, you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken. For dust you are, and to dust you will return." Amen.
Lesson 2 takes us to Genesis chapter 22, verses 15 to 18. The angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, "I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as the stars in the sky, as numerous as the stars in the sky, and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies. And through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed, because you have obeyed me. Amen. This is the word of God.
Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2, and then verses 6 and 7. The people walking in the darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and the peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this.
Thank you. The fourth lesson is taken from Isaiah 11, verses 1 to 9. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of power, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and he will delight in the fear of the Lord. But with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. The wolf will live with the lamb, the leopard will lie down with the goat, the calf and the lion and the yearling together, and a little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear, their young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. The infant will play near the hole of the cobra, and the young child put his hand into the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea.
Thank you. Lesson 5, Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 35 and verse 38. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favoured. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favour with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to call him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. Amen.
Luke chapter 2, verses 1 and 3 to 7.
In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea in Bethlehem, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to be registered with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to the firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn.
Lesson 7, reading from Luke chapter 2, verse 8. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favour rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger.
Thank you. Lesson 8 is from Matthew 2, verses 1 to 12. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Amen.
Lesson 9, John chapter 1, verses 1 to 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not understood it. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Amen.
I don't know if you've seen the advert for the new Google mobile phone. I think it's the Pixel 6, it's named. Well, the advert is not that we've got somebody walking along glued to their phone, watching whatever the latest thing on TikTok is, and they bang into a lamppost. That's not the advert. No, the advert is something about a clever app on this phone called the Magic Eraser. And so if you've got this almost perfect photograph and all of a sudden in the corner there's somebody who ought not to be there, you just go onto this app, you press the button and poof, they're gone. The magic eraser. And so it gives to us yet more power at our fingertips to present to the outside world something that's maybe not the real thing. But I'm sure all of us would agree, if there was such a thing as this eraser that could somehow deal with the parts of life that we have not chosen for ourselves, maybe the fears or the fallouts, the losses, maybe the loneliness, the hurts or the heartaches, if there was an eraser to get rid of them, that would be great, wouldn't it? Or maybe the magic eraser that could somehow get rid of our biggest regrets in life. But the boffins at Google or Apple or the NHS or any boffins in here, no one's able to do that, are we? But what if the answer to our fears, what if the answer to our hurts and to our regrets is actually and has been there all the time, but we've just not seen it? Perhaps the romance story that you can tell to others is of how you met your loved one at work, or they were a friend for a long time, and then all of a sudden you just looked at them in a different way and you saw something you hadn't seen before. You were going, wow, she really is attractive. And the more you looked, the more attracted you became. It hadn't been obvious to you before, and looking back now, you can't think why, but now that you've seen it, you're just so drawn to the beauty. And maybe that's what needs to happen. Maybe that's what needs to happen with this whole Christmas event. Maybe we need to move beyond the tinsel and the tradition and the toys and all these things and see if there's something altogether more transformative about the arrival of Jesus in this world. What if this Christmas event is an event whereby our fears can be removed, and that we can face the ups and downs of life, that we can face the end and death, and even into eternity, knowing that we'll never be alone because he'll be with us? What if we can face the scars of life, that they can be born knowing that a time is going to come where there's going to be no more pain and no more tears and no more goodbyes. What if the identity and claims of this baby that was born in Bethlehem, what if they're true after all? What if he is who he says he is? That he is God with us? That he is God for us? And that he didn't simply come to this earth to sample it. It's not a great holiday destination, is it, if you're perfect, coming to live on this earth. But maybe he just didn't come here to stand in solidarity with you and I. But he came to do something altogether more deep. That he was to take our place and our punishment for having rejected God so that we might be brought to God. One thing is certain. When I was born, and when you were born, none of what we have read or sung about took place. In fact, when I was born, when you were born, when none of the 7 billion who are living today and the countless billions through history, when we were all born, nothing happened at our arrival like what happened in the arrival of Jesus. Nothing's happened in my life or your life like what has happened in the life of Jesus. We've not healed people. We've not transformed. We've not been absolutely consistent and loving and true, but he has. Something happened not simply with his birth and his life, but his death and his resurrection. But more than that, because you see, and this is probably what I really want you to hold on to as we finish off tonight, I want you to remember the heart of Jesus. Because the heart of Jesus is not quite like mine in the fact Jesus' heart was selfless, drawn towards those who were hurting, drawn towards those who were neglected and forgotten, those who were tempted, those who had messed up, those who were weary and burdened. His heart was drawn to individuals like that. So maybe it's time to take a closer look at the Christmas event. Maybe it's time this year not to erase out the Jesus whose arrival in this world we actually celebrate. But we take a closer look at what's been there all the time as we see Jesus calling us to himself, to a fear-free, forgiven life lived to the full with him. Once we sing our final Christmas carol, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, you're going to find out about a way in which you can explore a little more about this message of Christmas, the message of who Jesus is, in a course called Hope Explored. But for now, we're going to stand, we're going to sing, we're going to rejoice. Hark the Herald Angels Sing.
Thank you. There are few emotions more powerful than hope. It's a spark inside you that brings a smile to your lips, a light that shows on your face, a feeling that lifts your head and pulls you forward. These days, hope like that often feels hard to come by. Maybe you've experienced your share of disappointments, but real hope is what the Christian faith claims to offer. A joyful expectation for the future, based on true events in the past, which changes everything about my present. Hope Explored is a 3-session series for anyone who is looking for a hope worth having. Whatever you do or don't believe, this is your invitation to explore, to discuss, to question, to discover. This is Hope Explored.
We're going to be running Hope Explored in the new year, God willing. It is only a 3-session course that enables you to explore a little bit about the message of who Jesus is and the hope that he offers to give to you. Please keep an eye out on our social media platforms and please keep in contact with us here as to when this is going to start. We'd love you to come along. If you come along the first week and you find it's not for you, don't worry, we'll not come banging on your door. You're free to come and to go. But we'd love to explore the hope and the peace and the joy that Christmas points us to, that is given to us in Jesus. Well, before we finish off, can I on your behalf thank all those who have been involved in making tonight possible, those who have organized behind the scenes, making sure everything was in place, those who are willing to come to the front and to read, to Graham, who was willing to lead us on the music, to those behind the screens, enabling this to go out live, as well as ensuring everything runs smoothly. On your behalf, I'll add my thanks to yours, and we thank them for all that they've done. It's been a joy to have you with us this evening. We're going to close as we stand and we hear the great prayer of favor and blessing that God gives to us. Let's stand. Until the Lord Jesus returns, or until he calls us home, let's receive and rest in these words of his favor and goodness. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest on and remain upon each one of us, both now and forevermore. And the people of God said, Amen.